In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life. Amen. Amen. Last night was an amazing night. Wonderful people we met for the first time. And I also shared a few things about my childhood experience about Easter Vigil back in our place. In most of the Indian subcontinent, we used to have sunrise service or hilltop service. We don't have that privilege here because of due to weather. I suppose nobody can go out. But I was every time I come closer to Easter Day, I recall those wonderful moments. Praise God for that. Thank God. What relief. What joy, what delight. Here we are, Easter Day. My siblings in Christ, Christ is risen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus is alive, and God has swallowed up death forever. With Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, we may feel astonished and confused, unsure of what to make of the empty tomb, to proclaim, witness, praise, and affirm the liberating reality of Christ's death and resurrection. So in word and feast, we celebrate God's unending love and depart to share this good news with all the world. Hallelujah. For Easter Day is no less than the celebration that in Christ's own body, life was victorious over death. Good was victorious over evil. And love was victorious over hate. It is the ultimate mystery, the ultimate victory, the ultimate gift that we celebrate this day. Looking back, we can celebrate with much confidence. Christ was victorious. Life eternal has been realized. The work of saving grace has been achieved. With his last breath, Jesus said, "It is done. It is accomplished. It is finished." And so it is. Like the first people of faith, the trust of Christ's victory is still being worked out in our flesh, in our hearts and minds and souls. And the consequences of love without limits is still unfolding within us and between us. The transforming work of God's gracious love within us is very much a work in progress. For good reason, today's church reads any gospel account of an empty tomb on Easter morning through the primary lens of resurrection joy. But Mark's first witnesses react very differently. Instead of receiving an empty tomb with hope, the words terror, afraid, and alarmed describe their immediate perceptions of what has happened to Jesus. They're very confused. They don't know how to perceive that whole situation. Imagine the way they would have felt. They would have felt completely lost. And here Peter shares the good news of Christ's resurrection with Gentile listeners in this morning's reading from Acts. He proclaims with boldness that they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. So, like the first people of faith, the truth of Christ's victory is still being worked out in our flesh, in our hearts, our minds and souls. And the consequences of love without limits is still unfolding within us and between us. Last night at the Easter Vigil service, we had visitors from our ESL program, eager to know about Christ. They had so many wonderful questions. One went to the extent of asking me, if you're a priest, how come you're married? So those are very valid questions because they come from a different background. So I had to explain. I didn't have much time to talk about all Reformation and things like that. But briefly, I said, probably I will continue that conversation later on. Many questions were raised, all valid questions. And they were all excited to learn more about the risen Lord. They had no clue whom we were talking about, whom we were worshiping, who has died and who has risen, and why is this tomb empty? These were the questions that they were asking me last night. But wonderful, very exciting. So my friends, testimony is done in community so that we can move from what we know in our hearts to a community of discernment that can affirm, challenge, deny, or celebrate what we speak. So testimony is important. Thanks to Craig, he invited. All it needs is one simple invitation. That's what I do. When I meet strangers, I tell them, come and worship with us. There is nothing wrong in that. The power of testimony this Easter morning and every morning rejoices in the good news that we are called to build communities of faith and justice. That's our calling as a community. We must be prepared to push beyond our fears and doubts when confronted or filled with the good news of the resurrection, because the truth of its power often comes from unexpected places, like the angel at the tomb. On Easter Day, the young man at the tomb gives testimony to the best news imaginable. He has been raised. He isn't here. So why have you come? What a marvelous declaration. Many people in our churches, world across, are like the women at the tomb, fearful about giving testimony. They worry that their words will not be eloquent enough. They are concerned that their lives are not good enough. They question whether their theology is adequate enough. But if we pause and investigate our world, even our own families and community, we do not have to look far to see where the reign of God, the coming of the kingdom, is still to be realized. But then there is that fear. The work of carrying the good news of Christ's victorious love out into the world is our work, and as urgent as when the commission was first given to the disciples to go and preach the good news and baptize believers in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Today, we are going to welcome three young and wonderful children into the house of God. And this community will stand witness to their baptism. And that is a testimony of who we are as a community, how we embrace people who have adopted Canada as their new home. And that has a meaning, a deep meaning. And there's no other greater than welcomed them into the house of God. So we are called to live as resurrection people, the Easter people, to be people of hope, love, and life, to be compassionate, generous, wise, humble, self-giving, and no matter how great our joy this morning, we know it is not as easy as any task. It is not easy to be hopeful in the face of entrenched poverty, division, climate warming, drug addiction, violence, cynicism, and others' hopelessness. It is not easy to love when our own hearts are often empty and dried up, where we have nothing more to share, or when we become judgmental and we struggle to know ourselves loved. It is not easy to proclaim life when around us the evidence of people and things we love dying, our church, our friends, faraway children. I know many of you, your families are all spread out. One child living in another city, another country, far away. I know how it feels. I was there. And yet our hope, our love, our life is well founded, for it is founded on the one who embraced death, decay, and despair in order that we might live abundantly and eternally. That is the whole purpose. And he, not forgetting, he was victorious. Our Lord was victorious. It is indeed worth noting on this Easter day that the first people who were charged to go and give testimony to the resurrection were ordinary folk like you and me. They were no different. They were just ordinary folks. They were not chosen because they were the most eloquent or the most learned or the most faithful. No, there was no such qualification. There was no such qualification. It did not dictate. Jesus never dictated that. He welcomed and said, come and follow me. That was his welcoming statement, a very sweeping statement. Come and follow me. So rather, they were chosen because they knew about his love. They knew who Jesus was. So with testimony, we embody our resolve and ability to discern the will of God. We are called, my siblings in Christ, we are called to live as resurrection people, the Easter people, to be people of hope, love, and life, to be compassionate, generous, wise, humble, and self-giving. Because of our risen Lord and Messiah, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen.